Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Before I start a new series, I wanted to address some current events. And there's a lot of really interesting things happening in the world now, as I'm sure you all recognize. If I was going to put a title on some of these current events, I think I might say something like Perfect Storm, Pick Your Poison. Everything from Australian wildfires to the coronavirus to African locusts. In fact, a Facebook friend recently inquired, not to me personally, but had made the inquiry, are we in the Great Tribulation? She was seriously wanting to know. And of course, my thoughts when I saw that was, well, I don't think so. I'm still here. I don't plan on being here during the Great Tribulation. But it is an interesting thought. Naturally, people would have that type of reaction, wondering, those who do believe in the Bible and do know of the event, the coming event known as the Great Tribulation. And so, looking at the things that are taking place, I look on my own lifetime, even in my Christian lifetime, since I became a Christian in 1973, I've seen some very interesting things along the way. I've seen what I would call a few apocalyptic misfires, one that probably only you old-timers would remember, and that was the comet Kohoutek. And this was supposed to be, you know, the big sign, the big event, and, you know, reckoning the end of time and all. And then, of course, we had Y2K at the turn of the century, or the millennium, I should say. And that was for some of you not so old-timers, perhaps, or fairly old-timers, I don't know. And then the Mayan prophecies, the 2012, that came along in 2012. But, of course, throughout history, we've had things like the Black Death and the bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, and please, please forgive me my political incorrectness for referring to this flu as the Spanish flu. I know that the liberal infection that we are experiencing in the world, or particularly in the United States at this time, had such an issue, you know, with President Trump calling a virus that came out of China a Chinese virus, or the Wuhan virus. So, you know, I have to get a little comic relief here and say, are you kidding me? History refers to the Spanish flu as what? The Spanish flu. But anyway, moving on, the swine flu is another one that we've seen through the history, in history, modern history, really, and the SARS virus, or epidemic, I should say. And so these obviously didn't happen during the Great Tribulation, since the Great Tribulation hasn't happened yet. But I would say that one interesting distinction is that these type of things can spread farther and further, or faster, I'm sorry, to a larger world population in the times we're living in now, through planes, trains, and automobiles, than, of course, in the in some of the older historic plagues, black deaths and flus and what have you. So that distinction, I think, makes it something to sit up and take notice. I want to look at some excellent articles that I have gleaned over the last few weeks. And the first one I want to look at is from the gotquestions.org site. What does the Bible say about pandemic diseases and sicknesses? Excuse me. This is one of many articles which I'll be referring to throughout the next few podcasts, before I get into my new series. What does the Bible say about pandemic diseases and sicknesses? Answer: various outbreaks of pandemic diseases, such as Ebola, I forgot about that one, or the coronavirus, have prompted many to ask why God allows or even causes pandemic diseases, and whether such illnesses are a sign of the end times. The Bible, particularly the Old Testament, describes numerous occasions when God brought plagues and diseases on his people and on his enemies to make you see my power, Exodus 9:14 and 16. He used plagues on Egypt to force Pharaoh to free the Israelites from bondage. while sparing his people from being affected by them. And that's Exodus 12, 13 and 15, 26. Thus indicating his sovereign control over diseases and other afflictions. Now, God also warned his people of the consequences of disobedience, including plagues in Leviticus 26, 21, and 25. Where's a mention of that, the consequences. On two occasions, God destroyed 14,700 people and 24,000 for various acts of disobedience. You see that in Numbers 16, 49 and 25, 9. After giving the Mosaic Law, God commanded the people to obey it or suffer many evils, including something that sounds like Ebola. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, which will plague you until you perish. Deuteronomy 28:22. These are just a few examples of many plagues and diseases God caused. It's sometimes hard to imagine our loving and merciful God displaying such wrath and anger toward his people. But God's punishments always have the goal of repentance and restoration. In 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14, God said to Solomon, When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Here we see God using disaster to draw his people to himself, to bring about repentance and the desire to come to him as children to their heavenly Father. Now, you know, locusts were mentioned here, and so I want to go to another article, and then I will return to this article that I began with. The next article I want to look at is, second wave of locusts could hit one-third of the world's nations, and this is from the WND staff. It says, when billions of locusts stripped hundreds of square miles of African croplands a week ago, there were warnings it might get worse. Now, a second wave is about to descend that has the potential to damage the food and economic security of a tenth of the world's population. The worldwide charity Barnabas Fund noted that the desert locust is considered the most dangerous migratory pest on Earth. A swarm of only 1 square kilometer will eat as much as 35,000 people can eat in one day. In times of plague, desert locusts can spread across around 29 million square kilometers, extending to around 60 countries, or more than 20% of the total land surface of the planet. Many thousands of people were already in the grip of food shortages due to either drought or flooding in the last 12 months before the crop destruction caused by a first wave of vast swarms of desert locusts in East Africa and Pakistan earlier this year, the report said. And this time around, it could be 400 times worse. The United Nations estimates 20 million are facing the threat of severe food insecurity. The breeding activity for desert locusts in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia is threatening millions. Further in the article, it says, a Christian leader explained to Barnabas, the Barnabas Fund, that the severe rains will increase the risks of a locust plague. Normally, the locusts are in parts of Africa, the Middle East, and Asia, an area of about 16 million square kilometers. A second wave of this year's devastating locust outbreak is underway in summer breeding grounds in East Africa, parts of the Middle East, and Southwest Asia. Breeding conditions for the locusts have remained highly favorable since February along both Red Sea coasts and in East Africa. Heavy rains fell in southern Iran, spurring egg laying. And similar breeding patterns have been found in Ethiopia, Sudan, Eritrea, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and the UAE. The report noted that the only effective means to battle the plague is aerial insecticide spraying, mainly with organophosphate chemicals, but the cost, at least $60 million, is unworkable for some nations. Now, another article concerning the locusts, very interesting. It says, this is, of course, from the Times of Israel. Amanda Bonshel Don wrote this March 16, 2020. Plague of locusts set to descend on the Middle East in time for Passover. A plague of locusts, the likes of which have been unseen for over 30 years, is about to hit Africa and the Middle East. Adding to the perfect biblical storm, the current coronavirus pandemic is affecting travel of international experts and in-country gatherings for training to combat the locust threat. said Rome-based senior locust forecasting officer Keith Cressman on Monday. Cressman works at Locust Watch, a division of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, which gives emergency assistance to countries facing desert locust invasions and constantly monitors the status of potential infestations. According to the organization's most recent forecast report, there are new extremely alarming swarms forming in the Horn of Africa. Cressman, who has worked with the organization for over three decades, told the Times of Israel on Monday that the previous time the region has been in such danger was during the plague of 1987 through 1989. The desert locust is the most destructive migratory pest in the world, according to the Locust Watch website. As depicted in the book of Exodus, when the highly mobile swarms of desert locust form, they are ravenous eaters who consume their own weight per day, targeting food crops and forage. The current widespread breeding in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia represents an unprecedented threat to food security and livelihoods at the beginning of the upcoming cropping season. Locust Watch works in collaboration with affected countries to access field data, information, and reports in real time, said Cressman. The information, he said, is combined with analysis of remote sensing, or satellite imagery, weather data and forecasts, and historical data in our geographic information system and database that go back to the 1930s. Starting in early 2020, the global locust situation deteriorated as favorable climatic conditions allowed widespread breeding of the pest in East Africa, Southwest Asia, and the area around the Red Sea, writes the website. It appears that the hardest hit countries will include Kenya, Ethiopia, Somalia, Iran, Pakistan, and Sudan, the last of which will likely be affected later this summer, said Cressman. It is always very difficult. Well, and let me just pause. You know, of course, when you get into prophecy, there's always speculation and such. But it's interesting to me that some of these countries are, of course, going to be part of the invading coalition that's spoken of in the prophet Ezekiel's book, chapters 38 and 39. It lists the coalition in the future at some future point. And one has to wonder if these type of devastations will help hasten the desire to invade Israel, being an agricultural country, and, of course, as we'll see in the rest of this article, who may be bypassed by this plague. So, reading on, it is always very difficult to find and treat all infestations, and this is the nature and challenge of managing desert locust, he said in an email to the Times of Israel. The inability to travel due to coronavirus restrictions may prevent proper timely treatment. Not all regions, and here it is, the payoff pitch, folks, not all regions of the Middle East will be affected, however. Despite the proximity of the to the Jewish holiday of Passover, according to the useful forecast on the site and confirmed by Cressman, it appears that the swarms will not hit Israel or the country's crops. Now, I just found that really interesting. And just a note, of course, for those of you who may not be familiar with the Bible, and I believe much of my audience is, but you will remember, or you will understand, if you look into the Bible in the book of Exodus and you study the nation of Israel, there was a series of plagues that God brought upon the nation of Egypt when God wanted Israel to be free to worship God, and the Pharaoh resisted, and of course it's a long story, but there was an event that took place that is where the term Passover comes from. And that's where the children of Israel were told to offer a lamb without spot or blemish, and to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the corners of the doorway, the sides and the top and the bottom of the doorway. And God said when the destroying angel came to take the firstborn son of the Egyptians as part of God's judgment against Egypt at the time, that he would pass over the Israeli homes that had that the lamb's blood. And of course, that's a type of Christ's sacrifice. There's many types of Christ coming as a lamb without blemish who shed his blood for mankind, if mankind would acknowledge and accept the gift of pardon that God offers through the sacrificial lamb, Christ. But I just think that's interesting that that, and we'll see what takes place with this locust swarm. But just an interesting side note there that I wanted to mention. Now, I want to go back to the pandemic article from Got Questions and read on. It says, in the New Testament, Jesus healed every disease and every sickness, as well as plagues, in the areas he visited. Matthew 9:35, 10:1, and Mark 3:10. Just as God chose to use plagues and disease to show his power to the Israelites, Jesus healed as an exhibition of the same power to verify that he was truly the Son of God. He gave the same healing power to the disciples to verify their ministry. And that's Luke 9:1. Now, God still allows sickness for his own purposes, but sometimes disease, even worldwide pandemics, are simply the result of living in a fallen world. And now I want to pause there, and we'll come back to this article again. But because of the mention of Jesus healing every disease and every sickness, you know, and he was designating to everyone, authenticating that he was the Messiah, and then he also gave that same power to the disciples to verify their ministry. Of course, I believe those were sign gifts, and I believe that's why we can't claim healing is a given. You know, God can heal, but sometimes, as the article says, God does not heal. Sometimes he doesn't heal us physically. If we are children of God, one day we will have a new body, and I believe that really encompasses the idea that, you know, that he was smitten, and that by his stripes we are healed. I think when we get our new body, we will have perfect healing. In the meantime, if God chooses to heal us, fantastic. If he doesn't choose to heal us, then we need to be encouraged that we have an eternity of great health coming. So I hope that's an encouragement. But this is why I want to digress now, and we'll come back to this article, because I saw, I don't know if you say if it's called a meme or a mem. You think I would know by now, but on Facebook, and I thought it was pretty good. In fact, I wrote, "Physician, heal thyself," pertaining to this meme or mem, and it says, COVID-19 pandemic. Still, not a single faith healer has dared to lay hands on the sick and dying in the hospital. And someone had written, "Come on, faith healers, practice what you preach. Don't wear masks, don't wash hands, and don't go social distancing, because it shows you lack faith. Be bold and go into the hospitals and heal the sick." So, you know, like I say from the other article, Jesus, God still allows sickness for his own purposes. But of course, these faith healers, and there's pictures of all of the prominent, better known faith healers here in this meme. And it goes on. And then, of course, I read some of the comments, and some objected, some who believe in the prosperity and word faith type heretical teaching. They would object by saying, well, the doctors won't let them in, you know, because of social distancing. You know, so my comment would be, oh, so, you know, when there's not a coronavirus or some other plague going on, that Benny Hinn and the gang normally go and heal the people in the hospitals and clear them all out. You know, because surely if there wasn't a pandemic going on, I would think that they could go visit anybody they wanted anytime they wanted. I mean, just sign in at the hospital and go heal everybody. But anyway, you know, reading that really reminded me of a little story. When I lived in Tulsa, there was a conference, an annual conference. I lived there, about 5 or 6 years in Tulsa. And, I forgot the name of the conference, the same name every year. But the idea was, you know, 7 days of different various word faith prosperity type teaching would be taking place. And Benny Hinn was there, of course, one night. And I was there for most of those conferences, just checking them out, of course. I'm glad I went this particular night because Benny Hinn was down on the stage speaking, and I just chose to leave early. He was getting towards the end of his speaking. He wasn't doing any healing. He was just talking. He was getting ready to go out of the country somewhere. And as I went up to the foyer at the top of the Coliseum, or, you know, the Coliseum there, I couldn't help but notice a gentleman who was on a gurney. And the emergency people were there, and it was, you know, something serious was going on. But I didn't see any Benny Hinn. I didn't see any of the people, the followers of Benny Hinn, running up to heal the man. I mean, gee, what's wrong with this picture? And it just, you know, it reminded me of that experience I had in that memory of, yeah, why didn't somebody go down and say, Benny, we're here needed, quick, come up and help this man? And we all know that had they done that, and somebody might have, I'm sure Benny is not going to be running up there because he's not a faith healer. There is no such thing as, in my opinion, of hate faith healers. I believe Jesus is a faith healer. I mean, I believe Jesus is a healer. Like I say, he can heal if he so chooses. It's not always God's will. I thought that was interesting. And then also, I have a large prayer list of people that I pray for. And one of my friends had asked me to be praying for a friend of hers who is a follower of Christine Kane, who's part of the whole Word Faith stuff. Her mentor was Joyce Myers. And she had asked me to be praying for her and her father, who was a pastor of a, you know, who had always been the pastor of a sound church. And she was really concerned because his daughter had been going off the rails. So we had been praying. And she told me recently, she said, oh, you know, keep praying. You know, I think the Lord's working. And I don't make any claims to be some super prayer warrior. But, you know, I was thankful to hear that because I want to exhort you all to keep praying. You know, for prayer is needed, obviously, more than ever, it would seem, in these days. But what was interesting is that she said that Costi Hinn, who I believe is the nephew, not the cousin, but I believe he's the nephew of Benny Hinn, came to speak at this pastor's church. And she was so excited because, of course, Costi Hinn is exposing Benny Hinn's false teaching and aberrational junk, you know, the false healings and everything else he's doing, false prophecies, false teaching, you name it. So Costi was there to speak, and she was so encouraged by that. And, of course, I was too. And so we continue to pray for his daughter, that she would, her eyes would be open, that she wouldn't continue on in this deception with Christine Kane. Now, and I believe she's associated with Hillsong, or one of the other movements that promotes Word Faith teaching, etc. As I say, her mentor was Joyce Meyer, so that'll tell you all you really need to know. But going on in this little meme, they quote 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And that's what happens, folks. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words or fake words make merchandise of you. It's all about the dollar, the almighty dollar. Whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. You know, their time is coming, and many are going to say, Lord, Lord, and they're going to say, didn't we do all these great things and works and signs and wonders and miracles in your name, cast out demons? And he'll say, I never knew you. I never knew you. So we pray for so many people, including many of these false prophets and teachers. Probably should pray for them more than we do. But we do. And I'm encouraged, though, to see our prayers being answered. And so don't give up on prayer, folks. Always continue to seek the Lord no matter how difficult your circumstances may be. Now, getting back to the pandemic article that I was reading from, okay, in the New Testament, all right, let me get back to where I was at here. Okay, there is no way to determine whether or not a pandemic has a specific spiritual cause, but we do know that God has sovereign control over all things, Romans 11:36, and will work all things together for the good of those who know and love him, Romans 8:28. Now, second page, the spread of sicknesses such as Ebola and the coronavirus is a foretaste of pandemics that will be part of the end times. You know, a foretaste. Not saying that this is part of the tribulation or that we're in the tribulation, but a foretaste. Jesus referred to future plagues associated with the last days, Luke 21:11. The two witnesses of Revelation 11 will have power to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want, Revelation 11:6. Seven angels will wield seven plagues in a series of final severe judgments described in Revelation 16. The appearance of pandemic diseases may or may not be tied to God's specific judgment of sin. It could also simply be the result of living in a fallen world. Since no one knows the time of Jesus' return, we must be careful about saying global pandemics are proof that we are living in the end times. For those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, disease should be a reminder that life on this earth is tenuous and can be lost at any moment. As bad as pandemics are, hell will be worse. The Christian, however, has the assurance of salvation and the hope of eternity because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross for us. Isaiah 53:5. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Hebrews 9:28. How should Christians respond to pandemic diseases? First, do not panic. God is in control. The Bible says the equivalent of do not fear over 300 times. Now, I'm going to, we're going to finish up there for this evening, and then we will be moving to another article, a Got Questions article concerning what does the Bible mean when it tells us to fear not or do not fear? And we will be encouraged by the things we see there. And so I'll have a lot more to say about that. And I thank you for joining us. I hope you'll be back again with us next week. Keep on praying. God is in control. Don't lose heart. And Jesus is coming soon. Good night.